We've seen Jesus ask a whole lot of his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He's called them, he's named them, he's given them authority, he's sent them out with a message that not everyone's gonna appreciate. He has told them to go to people who are lost, weary, and in need of mercy. He's warned them that some doors will close, some hearts will resist, and some relationships may strain under the weight of faithfulness. Jesus has been honest about the cost of being a disciple, but he doesn't end this mission speech with fear. He ends it with welcome. After all the warnings about rejection, Jesus reminds the disciples that some people will receive them. And when they do, their welcome will reach farther than they realize. To receive the messenger of Christ is to receive Christ. To receive Christ is to receive the Father who sent him. The smallest act of care becomes part of something holy. This passage invites us to see ministry differently. We tend to notice the public things, sermons, songs, programs, meetings, numbers, buildings, and results. And Jesus notices those things too, but he also notices the cup of cold water. He sees the simple mercy that doesn't make the announcements. He sees the person who opens a door, offers a chair, listens with patience, gives a ride, shares a meal, writes a note, or makes space for someone who feels forgotten. In the kingdom of heaven, welcome is never small when it is offered in love. Our text today also reminds us that discipleship is shared work. Some are sent out to speak, serve, visit, teach, and lead. Others receive, encourage, support, and strengthen those who are sent. And Jesus honors both. The one who goes and the one who welcomes are drawn into the same grace. The church becomes faithful not only when it proclaims Christ, but when it receives people in his name. This passage also gives tired churches hope. We may not have every resource we wish we had, but we can still practice welcome. We can still notice people. We can still make room. We can still place simple mercy in the hands of someone who needs it. Our text today comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40-42. Listen as I read or read along with me. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, most of us know what it's like to walk into a place and wonder whether we belong there. It could be a church, it might be a waiting room, a family gathering, a school meeting, or a room full of people who already seem to know where to sit and what to do. There's a moment when you look around and try to read the room. Is there space for me? Will somebody speak? Will I be treated like a person are a problem. Sometimes the smallest gesture settles the whole thing. Someone smiles. Someone moves a purse from a chair. Someone says, "Come sit with me." Nothing dramatic happens, but everything changes. And that's where this text meets us. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for mission. He has told them that it will be hard. He has warned them that not everyone will understand. Some will reject the message and some will reject them. He's not dressed up discipleship up like it's an easy road. Following Jesus will ask something of them. It will ask for courage, trust, humility, and endurance. Then after all of that, Jesus talks about welcome. Now that's not a random ending. It's almost as if he wants the disciples to know that rejection will not be the only story. There will be people who will open the door. There will be homes where the message is received. There will be hearts that recognize grace when it comes near. There will be someone who offers water to a tired disciple and has no idea how much heaven sees in that very moment. The image Jesus leaves us with is not grand. It's a cup of cold water. It's not a feast. It's not a building campaign. It's not a headline. It's not a perfectly organized program with matching folders and a volunteer spreadsheet. A cup of cold water. Something ordinary. Something available. Something almost anyone could give. That should get our attention because we often think faithfulness has to be impressive before it counts. We think ministry has to be visible before it matters. We look at the world's standards and start measuring the kingdom by the size of the crowd. We measure by the reach of the post, the quality of the equipment, the polish of the presentation, or the number of people who noticed. Jesus looks at a thirsty person and a cup of water and says, "God sees that." Now there is deep grace in that. Some people spend their whole lives doing quiet things that keep other people going. They make coffee before anyone arrives. They unlock doors. They check on widows. They sit with the grieving. They pick up children. They fold bulletins. They wash dishes. They visit nursing homes and pray names no one else remembers. They don't call attention to themselves. Half the time, they are sure that they are not doing enough. Yet Jesus says the kingdom is not blind to small mercy. But this passage is not only about being nice. Jesus is saying something stronger than that. He tells the disciples that those who receive them receive him, and those who receive him receive the Father. In other words, welcome can become an encounter with God. When someone receives the person Christ sends, they are receiving more than a visitor. They are making room for the presence and work of Christ. And that's a humbling thought. It means the way we receive people has spiritual weight. Hospitality is not just Southern manners, although I am grateful for every casserole and every glass of sweet tea ever handed across a kitchen counter. Christian hospitality is more than being polite, though. It is making room for Christ by making room for the people Christ loves and the people Christ sends. And that's where this text can start pressing on us. Because it's easy to welcome people who are already comfortable to us. It's easy to welcome people who look like they belong, talk like they belong, vote like they belong, dress like they belong and already know the unspoken rules. It's harder to welcome the one who comes tired, awkward, wounded, poor, different, unsure, or carrying a past we don't understand. Jesus doesn't let us keep welcome small. He speaks of prophets, righteous people, and little ones. That range matters. A prophet may be bold enough to tell the truth. A righteous person may quietly live a life of faithfulness. A little one may have no status at all. Jesus says each one matters. The messenger with a strong word matters. The steady servant matters. The overlooked disciple matters. The vulnerable ones matter. If we're honest, churches can forget that. We can become so focused on keeping things running that we miss the person standing at the edge of the room. We can be so busy protecting our preferences that we miss Christ arriving in someone inconvenient. We can talk about wanting new people while unintentionally sending the message that there's no place to sit, no place to serve, no place to ask questions, and no place to be imperfect. A cup of welcome pushes against that. It asks, who needs room here? Not just room in the pew, but room in our attention, room in our patience, room in our prayers, room in our assumptions, room in our life together. The beautiful thing is that Jesus doesn't ask us to begin with something beyond our reach. He begins with a cup of cold water. Now, this isn't an excuse to do the least that we can do. It's an invitation to start where we are with what we have. The kingdom is not waiting until we feel impressive. Grace has already come near. We can offer what is in our hands. That may mean greeting someone by name. It may mean noticing who has been missing. It may mean staying a few minutes longer after church because someone needs to talk. It may mean taking soup to a neighbor, writing a note to a discouraged teacher, sitting with someone in the hospital, welcoming a child who is noisy, or making space for a person whose grief has made them quiet. It may also mean receiving help when we would rather be the strong one. Sometimes we are the disciple on the road. Sometimes we are the thirsty one. Sometimes Christ comes to us through someone else's kindness, and humility means letting ourselves be loved. This is why welcome matters in the kingdom. It's not because we're trying to be impressive. It is because Christ has welcomed us first. Before we knew how to open the door to God, grace came to us in Jesus. Before we had our lives straightened out, mercy came near. Before we could offer anything worthy, Christ received us with love we did not earn. That's the gospel under this whole passage. We welcome because we have been made welcome. We give because we have received. We make room because Christ made room for us. The cross is Christ's great act of costly welcome, where Jesus opened his arms to sinners, strangers, failures, doubters, and enemies, and said in his own body, "There is room for you in the mercy of God." So maybe the call today is not complicated. It's not smaller because it is simple. Look for the thirsty one. Look for the weary servant. Look for the person who wonders whether they belong. Look for the little one Jesus sees. Then offer cup you can offer. It may seem very small to you. It may not fix everything. It may not be noticed by many. But in the kingdom of heaven, small acts of welcome matter, because receiving others can become a way of receiving Christ. And when Christ is received, grace has entered the room. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, you have welcomed us with grace and sent us to welcome others in your name. As we leave this space, help us carry your mercy into ordinary moments. Show us the person who needs kindness. Show us the thirsty one, the weary one, the overlooked one, and the one who needs to know there is room for them in your love. May our words be gentle, our hands be open, and our hearts be ready. Teach us to offer what we have, even when it seems small, trusting that nothing given in your name is wasted. Send us out as people shaped by grace, guided by the Holy Spirit, and faithful to your call. In Jesus' name, amen.